June 7th, 2015, study on General Pacific. Again, this study, hopefully, if you fully do not understand about what the Bible teaches, you tell the teachers on instrumental music, whether it's authorized or whether it's not authorized, try to give you some things for your study in that to help you that you may come to an understanding of what the Bible teaches. Not trying to say this is what you must do, but it should be your conviction of things that we looked at. If you are convinced of what the Bible says, maybe this will bolster, again, the faith that you have. We do not deny that instrumental music and singing was never authorized. It was. We looked at verses from before the law of Moses, and we looked at those verses under the law of Moses. But if you had a chance to look at those verses concerning singing and playing under the law, what's some things that may stand out to you concerning that? That maybe not would be so clear, if you will, in the New Testament. Any thoughts?
Music would be, back in that time, would be like a joyously a celebration of something. Could be one.
All right. But still, through today, it's that.
Like a festival or a festivity day or something like that, they all may come together.
Okay.
I don't know of any instance in the Old Testament right now, I can recollect the seal of where it would be used in the worship service.
Let me put it this way. What are some things that are specified in the Old Testament that may not be concerning music in the New Testament? Larry?
Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem, he had specified, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, you come running to help fortify and fight against those that were opposing them to building. So there you have trumpet used as a signal.
Right. And so in doing this, it was specified what you were particularly blowed. You couldn't bang along a piano or you couldn't a flute. It was specified of what? Right. A trumpet. You are to blow a trumpet, okay? And so when you look, Yeah. And so when we started this and looking at it, we were looking at the uses of the Old Testament instruments, and they are particularly specified. Okay? On this occasion, this is what you are to use. Now, I say that because a lot of times the Old Testament refers to singing and playing. Okay? And so, there we understand what really the command to Israel was. Well, he was to sing and to play. But all the New Testament has is to sing. It's not, you know, it'd been better, you might say, well, it'd been better if God told us in the New Testament, we're to sing and not play. But he didn't do that. Okay? And so therefore, it requires a little bit more study into what music we are to have today. That's what's pointed. Sometimes he makes it clear in the Old Testament. And yet those things were authorized. We begin to study on the silence of the Scripture. And that's the question, does silence authorize? And we looked at Romans 14 and verse 23, when Paul there says that whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin, and the idea that we must have faith, something has to be revealed for us to know what God desires of us. When it says, because he who does not eat from faith, in other words, they were not sure whether the meat eating of meat was required or to them was right or wrong. And Paul is simply saying, if you don't know, don't do it. So the application was, if you're kind of in between, whether it's right or wrong for instrumental music, then you need to abstain until you find out one way or the other of what the Bible says. And we looked at the principle of Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, that God authorized by what he says, not the principle written there, that those things that are not revealed. So we need the application of what God has revealed to us. When you look at Romans 10 verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In that God did not intentionally or inadvertently leave something out of the Bible for us. It is there, what God desires today as far as the music. And again, make this point. When we're talking about music, we're talking about that which we is authorized as we come together as a collective. We're not talking about what I do in the home, or what I do with friends, or what I do when I go to a concert, or what I do when I listen to a radio. I'm talking about what does the Bible authorize when we come together upon the first day of the week to sing. What that authorizes, okay? Nothing else. So that's the aspect that we are looking at. Again, you cannot make the application to all things. You're dealing with the worship service, what God requires us to do on that. And you hear the argument, I'm sure, you know, that God has given us talents. And therefore, He desires us to express our talents. But He also authorizes where we are to express those talents. And so you have this as authority because I can play a guitar good, therefore I can play it anywhere. Or I can sing anywhere, which you can. But just because you have a talent, God has authorized where certain things are to be used, okay? Keith may have a lot of talents for drawing or whatever. Does that mean we all draw when we come? He expressed his talents in worship to God? Well, no. And we understand it. But yes, that's one of the things that people apply as far as the lie on certain things. If we can, together, a group of instruments, we can play good instruments. That's our talent. We need to express that talent in worship. Well, I do not disagree that you are to praise God. But we're dealing with worship. What's to be done in worship? Just like the eating of the Lord's Supper, taking the Lord's Supper, whatever it may be, the day that we come together for that purpose, what does God allow, what does God require of us? So it is important to understand the basic principle that silence does not simply authorize. We must have a thus saith the Lord. Lesson 2, we begin to look at the instruments of the Old Testament. And looking at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight, that faith is not based on my opinion, what I think that the Bible teaches. It's based on what I know that has been revealed. That Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if God's Word says nothing about a certain course, there can be no faith in pursuing that course. I need to just leave it alone on that. We looked at Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 10, when it talked there about a new covenant that was to be established in the latter days. And we looked at this word new, which simply means unaccustomed or unused, not new in time or recent, but new as to form or quality, from a different nature from that which was old. And so it's a new, it's something that is contrasted to that which was old, the Old Testament, okay? Our worship is new. It's never been used before. So that's what the application is having. We looked at a principle in James chapter 2. When James there says concerning the law in James 2 and verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. The application, if one's a keeper of law or to be a righteous person, they must keep all the law. And the principle will be that those who appeal to the Old Testament for their source of authority for music, if they take a verse, they must keep all that what that verse says. You cannot pick one point out and claim to be a righteous person. They were not considered righteous in the old law for not doing it. So if that's our appeal to the Old Testament, whatever it says as far as the music, the dancing, whatever it may be in that verse, we're under obligation to keep all of that verse or what that verse teaches. The same principle is in Galatians 5, in verse 3, when Paul there says, "I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." So that which we appeal to, the principle is we must keep it all. If that's our authority, and hopefully we understand that. But when you bring those points in, they say, no, no, no. Actually, what they're doing, this is a source of authority only in that which they want to do. That's all that. I want to play music, so this is my source, if you will, of authority for me to do so. We looked at a couple of arguments, and I'm sure there may be more, of why people use the old law. One of them was that the law of Moses, that in Exodus chapter 20, those commandments were never done away with, just a ceremonial law having reference to the sacrifices and the days. But that law was still in effect, and hence, because music was under that law, music was kept and carried over, if you will. But we proved that from Romans chapter 7, that that's not the case. We'd also looked, if when you turned at 2 Chronicles, the argument that the law of music was given to David, okay? And because the law of music was a commandment given to David, it was separate and apart from the old law. When the old law was done away with, the commandment of music to David was not taken away. And we look at this verse, and he's talking about Hezekiah restoring temple worship, okay? If you get the context of, in verse 20, Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, went up to the house, and here's what they brought: the seven bulls, the rams, the lambs, goats, for a sin offering. Okay, so this is the context of where verse 25 is used. What was to go along with that sin offering? What was required in keeping the sin offering? That's all this context is dealing with, and it goes on through, if you will, verse 30. And so when you're looking at that and you're saying, well, this, you need to look where it was being used at. And so it says in verse 24, that the priest killed them, that is the animals, they presented the blood. So you have here blood that was being shed, Brother Norman Webb pointed out last week while he was hearing his comment upon this. As far as when these things were happening, it was when blood was being shed. There were sacrifices being offered, okay, for the sins of the people. It says, to make atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and sin offering be made for all Israel. Again, Hezekiah made this command. But it was in accordance with what Moses had commanded concerning a sin offering. It was not a commandment given to Hezekiah. Okay? And when you look at verse 25, what else went along with that sin offering, or that making atonement? What else was to be done besides the killing of all these animals? Someone read that.
And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets.
Right. So you had a blood offering was being made, blood was being taken, and during that time, as these was killing that, there was to be what played?
Cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps.
Particular, specified things that was to take place during this time. There would be strings, cymbals, stringed instruments, harps, according to the commandment of David. Let me give you a different version, if you read different versions of this, concerning what says here, concerning with harps according to the commandment of David. Some verses says according to the words of David. And the words here is having reference to songs that David wrote. Some versions use according to the psalms of David and Usaph. As they were playing these instruments, they were to sing songs of David as these sacrifices took place. It goes on, as you go through this, as this is being done, and when this is over, in verse 30, moreover, Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And so we understand that here you have a sacrifice, the Day of Atonement, they were being told, you have these particulars that must be done. The singing and the playing, but the playing was upon certain instruments. And we can see, as they say, this was a commandment. It was not a commandment given to David. They simply used David's songs that he had written. We have those in the book of Psalms for us. And so, when you see, kind of look at that, the context and stuff, the argument that that music was a commandment of David, separate and apart from the law of Moses, is what they say. And to me, that would say that God certainly inadvertently or didn't realize later on of what needed to be in worship, and so he after that authorized the use of instrumental music to David. Any thoughts? Again, the idea that what if you went by those verses, what would music, if you used the Old Testament, again, for your thoughts, your study, what all would that law incorporate, allow us to do today in worship? Could we all dance? Sure, it was allowed. It was dancing was a form of worship at that time. And probably the Pentecostals probably meet the closest to that of anyone I know. And not only that, of the particular instruments, if you look, of what they used, the timbals and such, okay? Probably closer to that. But again, they used the other things that are not mentioned there. And we looked at, these would all be acceptable acts of worship. If you can allow one, you can allow all. Again, the first mention of music, Genesis 4 and verse 21. After that, Genesis 31 and verse 27. Exodus 15, one we looked at last week, they sang. Sometimes it's using they sang without the accompaniment of the instruments. Other time with instruments, there's no singing. Sometimes both. These things that they done was in praise to God. It was their form of worship, not only daily, but as we look in 2 Chronicles 29, that Day of Atonement, where they're gathered there with that particular thing, it was used there. And we mentioned that simply music and instruments was a way of life for Israel. They incorporated that in everything, if you will, that they done. Psalms 98, in verse 5, says there, for the mountains. 98, excuse me. Verse 5. Sang to the Lord with the harp, and with the harp and the sound of psalms. In other words, they incorporate. They were to praise God through this. Psalms 149. Verses 3 and 4. Let them praise His name with the dance. Again, this idea of the dancing was used as far as praise to God. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbal and the harp. You drop over to 150, verses 3 and 4. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbal and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. This idea that they praise God. This is their way of life. It was everything that they done during the day. These playing stuff was done for praise to God, okay? And so we understand that's what was one of the use of the instrument. As Larry mentioned, concerning Nehemiah, instruments was used as a time to warn individuals. As the rebuilding of the wall was taking place, Nehemiah's enemies was there seeking to kill him, stop the construction of that. They were to keep the sword with them handy. One was to be there particularly with the trumpet, okay? And when they seen danger come, they were to blow on that. The definition, if you go back and look, there's so many that even people today are not sure when you look at these instruments what they were. Harps, that they were different. They were like a 10-string, a 7-string, a 5-string, you know. And so when you look at those, and not having any idea maybe the number, but they would have known for the particular instance that they would be used, what they were to use for. Again, in 144 and verse 9 of Psalms, it says, I will sing a new song to you, O God, on the harps of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you. Again, this idea that this harp, it was used to praise, the sing and the praise. But again, you have others. You have the lyre, I guess is how it's pronounced, in Psalms 95. When it talks about 95 in verse, or 98 verse 5, again. The mountains, he was getting 97. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of psalms. These are kind of used interchangeable, these two words. When you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 15, again, this idea of the harp. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, In verse 16, it's when they were bringing the ark up to Jerusalem, it says, then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers, accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps. Okay, this idea that even in the carrying of the ark from one point, from point A to point B, the instruments are specified of how or what they were to use in that, okay? Trumpets is mentioned over 90 times in the Old Testament. When you look at, it was used, if you will, and we've done looked at one for different occasions. Exodus chapter 19, verse 13. Concerning here when Moses and the children of Israel were at the mountain, and God is calling Moses up, and then verse 12 says, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourself that you do not go up the mountain or touch its base. Verse 13, not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be put stoned or shot with an arrow. For the man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds, they shall come near the mountain. So you have these as a signal to come up somewhere. And the idea, you know, in other words, he was calling the congregation together. And if that were authorized, that could be that Larry could bring his trumpet. He could blast today when it's time to start. He was calling the congregation together. Verse 16. It shall come to pass on the third day in the morning, there shall be thunderings and lightnings, thick cloud on the mountain, and the trumpet of the Lord was very loud, so that all the people who were camped trembled. It was a calling together. And so not always used as far as the worship service or praise, but it's just used different ways. It was used to give, if you will, direction to the people. When you look at Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 24, it says, speak to the children of Israel. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Again, it's signaled when you look at Numbers chapter 29 and verse 1. There it says, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, for it is the day of blowing the trumpet. It was a way of signaling the end of an agriculture season. It's over, you blow the trumpets. And you shall observe that day as a holy convocation. And so we understand that trumpets were used that way. Joshua's going to talk about in Joshua 6 and verse 5 was used for a battle signal when you hear the trumpets blow. And so it was used in war. Again, not any particular instrument was authorized with that. Drums, tambourines, timbals in Exodus 20 was used for celebrations. Bells. Larry pointed this out to me. Bells. When you look at Exodus chapter 28. What was the purpose of bells?
When the high priest went into the most holy place, you couldn't tell because you couldn't see anyone else to be in there. But when you heard the bells, you knew that he was still alive in the presence of God and he was still doing his functions.
Okay. So in a way, it served as a signal, a bell, which would be the instrument and sword. That he was used at what the priest was doing, that he was still alive, that God had not struck him dead. But when you look at this, the noise that the bell made was what? A tingling. Okay? A tingling. And when you look up the word solo as the meaning of that, that's one of the definitions. A tingling. As an instrument. Okay? And so, we understand that. So that's just generally, when you look at that, again, if you appeal to those who appeal to the Old Testament for scriptures, things are specified how instruments are to be used. Okay, man was not left to his choice even then. But the question is, does that, as Larry pointed out, carry over today? Any thoughts on that anyone has? Is there anything anybody wants to add? When you look at the meaning, again, this Greek word psallo, P-S-A-L-L-O. Through the course of time, from the old all through the new, it has carried different definitions. Okay, and hopefully you understand when we get through this, what I'm talking about. It simply means to pluck. You pluck something. It never at one time even had reference to an instrument. When you look at Nehemiah,